When the Naval Academy graduated its first set of cybersecurity majors a year ago, the group included submariners, surface warfare experts, pilots, and Marines. Many seem destined for great careers. To find out how cybersecurity education is changing the Navy, I spoke with retired Captain Paul Tortora, director of the Center for Cybersecurity Studies at the Academy, and Ensign Zach Danley, the top performer in that first graduating class.
The cybersecurity program at the Naval Academy really started with an emphasis with the class of 2015 that graduated a year ago. They were the first class that was required to take two mandatory classes in cybersecurity. So effectively, we decided as a Navy that the Naval Academy is going to train 100% of our students, make them more aware of cybersecurity. So all of them will take a freshman course, Introduction to Cyber Operations, Cybersecurity, then they'll take a second course their junior year, and a little bit more in-depth on how cyber is used in the fleet in the real world. And then those that really like this field, we created a cyber operations major, which actually Zach Danley, also with us today, is the first graduating class that has that. So we took what we call all many few approach. All of them are getting, all of the Naval Academy instrument are getting cybersecurity awareness. Many of them will have chances to get involved, but a few of them will actually have a cyber operations major. So we graduated 27 this past, just 2 weeks ago. And what they learn is they get the fundamentals of technology, how it applies to cybersecurity. So the first couple years of the coursework is actually very technical in nature, computer science, programming, networking, the cyber physical aspects of cybersecurity. And then towards their upper class years, they'll actually start adding some non-technical courses. So there's three in the major, one on social engineering, the human factors of cybersecurity. The second one is cyber policy. We'll actually go in depth at the senior level. They'll go into policy at the how it works in cyber, both internationally and nationally. And then they'll take a course the last semester of school, which is in cyber law and ethics. And now also their senior year, they'll take a capstone course, which really is a year-long course on looking at how it all ties together, all the technological foundations they had as underclassmen, and then tying all those courses together to an offense, defense type of holistic picture of how it's all working together.
And Ensign Zach Danley, you are one of those first graduates, recently became from midshipman to ensign. What is it about cybersecurity that appealed to you while you were at the Naval Academy?
So it started whenever I was in high school. I was very interested in computer science. And then I'm actually part of a 10th generation military lineage. So I knew that I needed to somehow reconcile my family's dedication to service and kind of what I felt called to do in the military with also this academic passion I had for computer science. And I think whenever I got to the Naval Academy, what appealed to me most, specifically about cyber operations, because we also offer a computer science course, is that operations piece. And I really saw the cyber operations major leaning very far forward, understanding that, yes, computer science, information technology, those things are important in this domain, but if you don't understand the operations piece, which, as Captain Tortora was talking about, the human factors, the law, the policy, those are some of the things that, especially because I knew I wanted to do this in the Navy as a career, were some of the things that I saw as most important and most unique with this particular major against any other, whether it be technical major at the Naval Academy or really across any other school in the nation.
So it's safe to say your great-grandfather parried cannonballs made out of iron, and you are parrying digital cannonballs made out of bits and bytes.
Absolutely. In fact, it's even funny you brought that up. My grandfather constantly speaks about how each generation, of course, has their own fight. And he, very much my mentor, said that in general, you know, the digital domain would be my generation's fight. And I think we see that very evident with things, whether it be we see ISIS-ISIL using this space, whether we see it being used maliciously for crime. It's so different from a lot of other domains of war because really the civilian and private sector side and then the public sector government DOD side can get so blurred because the exact same entities can be on the same networks. And I think whenever you look at that, it makes it a very tough problem, but I think one that my generation is very uniquely ready to handle kind of growing up in this space.
And Captain Tortora, it sounds like cybersecurity is something baked into a lot of domains within the Navy. Explain how it fits into the general picture here.
Well, when you think of a battle group operations, you have ships, submarines, aircraft, satellite communications, UAVs, and unmanned other drones that you may see. on news that we're adding to our fleet. So all of those are interconnected in some form or fashion. They're networked, they're operating. So each of the respective domains, whether it be a ship at sea, aircraft in the air, troops on the field, their satellites in orbit, so they're all connected. So those domains are connected basically through cyberspace. So the cyberspace domain is this unique domain that permeates all of them, and that our midshipmen, future officers, and guys like Zach and his classmates need to be able to operate in. Meaning, what is that? They actually will have to figure out, is there such a thing as a cyber cannonball? How do we operate? How do we fight in a domain that touches all else of all the other domains of warfare? Matter of fact, I'm currently at the NATO Marshall Center in Germany, and the discussion in NATO is about to have in the next couple months is, should cyber itself be considered a domain like the United States does? Because it's permeating so much. There's so much information warfare going on with some of their near allies and others, not their allies, but some of their partners to the east. And so they're seeing this as a domain, a battlefield that needs better attention. So how do you approach that? So it does cross that. The U.S. military decided several years back to create a new cyber command, that cyber was an operational domain and we need to be able to fight, win, and survive in. And so that, which is why it made it easy for us, the Naval Academy, to institute both the mandatory courses and then the major itself to focus on the bigger picture.
We're speaking with retired Navy Captain Paul Tortura, director of the Center for Cybersecurity Studies at the Naval Academy, and Ensign Zach Dannelly, a recent graduate of the cybersecurity major. And Zach, do you anticipate working in more of the defensive network operations protections domain, or maybe into the more offensive domain, if in fact it is a warfare domain and the United States is under, at some level, constant attack?
So I recently, whenever I graduated, I received a commission into the information warfare community, which is the Navy's overall community for all of the different ways in which we operate on networks. And I specifically received a billet as a cryptologic warfare officer. So in that role, I'll kind of be doing both. So they're definitely go hand in hand, working together, where we're not only making sure our own networks are defended, but as we've talked about and has been seen, this area, as Captain Tortura said, is a warfare domain, and there are absolutely offensive capabilities which need to be leveraged and are leveraged. And I'm very fortunate to be able to be in this space kind of whenever it's on that cutting edge, because I see not only a lot of it technically, which I think, as we mentioned, the cyber major does have that technical underpinning, but I really see, and what I'd like to work on and what I plan to work on in my graduate school, which I'm heading to right now before I go to the fleet, is the policy side and looking at what are the ways in which we can see some of the policies that hopefully we'll be able to shape the ways in which we can enable our operators, our officers, our enlisted to be able to operate in this space, both offensively and defensively, to best protect the U.S. as well as to make sure we can ensure our interests domestic and abroad.
And Captain Tortura, this is a highly technical field. It's changing a lot. How does the Naval Academy ensure that what it's teaching is the latest up-to-date information?
You're right. This is a very technical field, the aspects of it. But our major focus is on understanding the basics, the fundamentals of programming, operating systems. And then as we progress through the major, we do have the opportunity to actually change courses along the way. We've got a great source of feedback. Matter of fact, we use Zach and his classmates and those that are coming behind him to actually provide feedback that we were able to modify the courses a little bit faster than you might find other courses being modified. But when you really look at cyber operations, sometimes it's not necessarily the technology, but who's using it, what are they after, what are the target, what are the goals, what's the bigger picture. So sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean changing the coursework, the technological coursework, to match it as much. Sometimes it's a good case study on how the adversary was able to penetrate a network, maybe what they moved around laterally, what were they after. Sometimes, as Zach mentions, the human factors, it's just going after the human in the loop sometimes is, depending what statistics you look at, 60-80% of those hacks sometimes happen because the human made an error, either clicked on a malicious link, downloaded some software, went somewhere they shouldn't have gone online. And so it's not necessarily the technology, but that's still part of the rigid part of their coursework. So we don't necessarily think we'll be changing it every year, every semester. We'll probably modify it, but it's still a good foundation in programming, understanding operating systems, how the information flows, and then understanding how the whole thing comes together.
And you also mentioned, too, that there is this human and law and policy side of all of this. And so in teaching all of the technology and the programming, is there also a component so that people understand, the graduates understand where this exists in the world vis-a-vis the United States and its allies and its adversaries?
Certainly. So in the social engineering class, we'll actually talk about going to the basics of group fundamentals, what motivates individuals and what are they looking for, what drives them. And there will be some case studies and papers that the midshipmen will write. And then maybe they'll look at ISIS and how is ISIL convincing young teenagers in Birmingham, England, to get on a plane, fly to Turkey, and cross the border into Syria for a life they didn't imagine. So there's things going on the internet that we look at, the social factors, who is anonymous, how they act, what is it good that they're doing, bad, et cetera. So they give the midshipmen a chance to actually do a lot of reading about how the internet views for good and bad, and then actually provide them some input, but then hear what their thoughts are, especially from a generation who's grown up in a different level of security online, ease of access to internet and other things. So that social factor is a great course for us to broaden the horizon of what the midshipmen think is use of the internet, and then how they're going to deal with it when they hit the fleet, because it'll be the leading edge, the bow wave, so to speak, in nautical terms, of cyber awareness in the fleet. And then the policy side, we actually have very senior level policy instructors. One of them is a visiting professor, Mr. Chris Inglis, former deputy director of the NSA, so had a strong hand in...
Know him well.
U.S. You know him. And so he's actually teaches the policy course at the Naval Academy as a visiting professor, so I think... We couldn't do any better than that. And then in law class, we have a wonderful lawyer who teaches on our class, teaches the class. And so we go into a lot about data privacy, internet, Fourth Amendment, constitutional rights, and then they look into what is right and wrong, ethically and lawful. And actually, since we have Zach online, he's welcome to give a couple examples of those three classes.
All right, Zach, what do you say?
No, absolutely. And I was just going to echo everything Ken Satora said. Me and two of my classmates actually had the chance to compete in the Atlantic Council's Cyber 9/12 policy competition, which essentially sets up a Cyber 9/11 scenario where some sort of crisis has happened, and we then create a policy or policy alternatives on how to respond. And it was our undergraduate team with maybe a handful of other undergraduate teams, a lot of graduate students, Harvard, Yale, the Kennedy Center, in addition to professionals, so the Air Force Staff College was there, a couple different groups from the Pentagon and some people from DIA, and our group ended up finishing number one for all undergraduates and three overall at the domestic competition, and then we actually got the chance to go to Switzerland and compete the international competition and came second in the world. And I only say that story because what it really echoes is, and whenever we were kind of asked, you know, from our level of relative inexperience, both academically and professionally, how did we perform the way we did? It's absolutely because of the holistic approach, looking at policy, looking at law, having these senior experienced people who are able to teach us not only from a book, but also from that experience, be able to teach us how this actually plays out. So whenever we were faced with these crisis scenarios, we could not only propose technical solutions, although certainly not the most technical that were presented, but we could also hypothesize on some of the human factors to consider. I know just the one thing we mentioned, which we received praise on, was involving the media in whatever we do with this crisis response, whether it's from a DOD perspective or from a government perspective. The flow of information these days is so immediate and widespread that if you don't have a media, at least, approach in any sort of your crisis response, no matter how successful it may be in actuality, if it does not propose success and promote success in the media, you may have, because of how closely the private and the public sector are linked, not have solved your actual problems. And then internationally, because this major not only says, okay, this is how we do it and how it looks in the U.S., but, you know, naturally, because networks are usually borderless and the cyberspace crosses those borders very much almost transparently, you have to be able to understand how will what I do here affect what happens overseas, or even as we're just seeing in our different views of privacy, even just the U.S. and the U.K. with the Safe Harbor Act, which essentially says how we can share information back and forth. There's quite a bit of turmoil with that only because we look at it very differently. So I think whenever I think about the classes, those upper level classes that build on all that technical foundation, not only because of the faculty, but also because of the incredible curriculum and scope, it really sets us up in a unique way to be able to handle cyber operations, really, that I've seen and I've had the credit to be a part of, better than counterparts who may be studying cybersecurity alone at other universities, even top universities.
We're speaking with Ensign Zach Danley, recently graduated from the Naval Academy's cybersecurity course, and retired Navy Captain Paul Tortora, who's the director of the Center for Cybersecurity Studies at the Academy. And Captain, it sounds like the coursework and the general graduates are prepared to be both at sea and at ashore and policy assignments. So it seems, the way you've described it, as a great foundation for really developing officers.
Yes, that's a great point. Matter of fact, if you look at the class that just graduated along with Zach, we had 27 that graduated. One of them is going to be a Navy SEAL. One of them is going to be in the explosive ordnance disposal area. One's going to be a Marine. One's going to be an intelligence officer. There's several others that are going to be like Zach, cryptologic warfare officers, 4 submarine officers, 2 naval flight officers, and 6 pilots. So they're going to hit their respective communities and take this awareness of how cyber operations works. And if you think of all the complex systems we use and how they could be manipulated or attacked by adversaries, they're going to be great assets to their respective units. And I think in future fights, and I'm not talking 20 years down the road, 5 years, who knows, the next battlefield will have a cyber component to it. And those 27, regardless of which field they chose, I think their communities, their bosses, will see them as a person needed to be on that planning team on how to solve problems that may come up, whether they're at the unit level or larger. And I just think these 27, the fact that they went to almost every possible commissioning field at the Naval Academy is going to give us a benefit for the Academy and for the nation. Even if it's just 27 of them, it'll make its mark, I think. Back to the term, it's a nice bow wave, the first part of the bow wave of cyber awareness hitting the fleet and the Marine Corps.
And do you think that policy and doctrine, as it actually exists in the real world, has caught up with the capabilities of cyber warfare, both, again, that the United States has and that our adversaries have?
No, I don't think so. I was, as I mentioned to you, I'm currently at the NATO Marshall Center in Germany, and last week I took 12 midshipmen, the same group that I'm with now, to the cyber conflict conference that NATO hosts in Estonia, and it was clear that there is no doctrine that could be agreed upon by NATO members that how would you use cyber, how do you define it, let alone how would you use it in a conflict. NATO with 29 members, how would you use that in a conflict? How would you agree upon some type of cyber operations or cyber offensive weapon? And then looking at all the different adversaries in a region as broad as Western Europe to Eastern Europe, it was clear in the international field and area that there is no good doctrine that anyone or any country can look at. And so it's quite open field. I think Zach and his colleagues, when they get to the mid-grade ranks and they get to their war college time, they'll be writing the doctrine, I believe. I'm pretty sure that they will, because those ahead of him have to basically learn about what cyber operations is, cybersecurity. Zach and his colleagues have it in their DNA, so to speak, right now, and they'll be taking that to the fleet. And then when they learn about tactical operations, they'll be able to look at that and then probably translate that into more strategic guidance and, who knows, maybe even some national policy. But all, as I mentioned earlier, also all the Naval Academy midshipmen get cyber awareness, 2 courses of it. So I think we're putting that a little bit of that into almost all of their brain so that they see it a little bit better than most others would.
We're speaking with Ensign Zach Danley, recently graduated from the Naval Academy's cybersecurity course, and retired Navy Captain Paul Tortora, who's the director of the Center for Cybersecurity Studies at the Academy. And is there a component of this education that relates to the ethics of cybersecurity and cyber warfare and the capabilities that someone trained in all this really have to use it in an ethical way?
Sure. So in the all course, the course that everyone takes, we do remind all the students that we do some attack, generic attack methods in a virtual laboratory, so we can show them what it looks like when a hacker is actually attacking a network. And then we remind them that those are legally wrong to do and ethically wrong to do in the outside world. But we also teach the midshipmen how to shoot weapons and fire torpedoes and rockets, and we tell them the same thing. But we do remind them of the ethical nature of what we're doing in the classroom. And then those that study in the major itself will get a full course in the law and ethics of cyber operations, when to use cyber, when is a country allowed or not allowed to retaliate, or can they retaliate? How should a corporation or industry or private firm, can they retaliate? What is their role in this? So we do have a full course dedicated to cyber law and ethics at the unclassified level, but it's pretty good. And we just ran it for the first time with Zach's class, and we'll be evolving it this summer and keep building upon that.
And Ensign Danley, since you are a newly minted ensign, I can't leave this without asking you, what's your long-term goal here?
So absolutely, I'd love to make the Navy a career. I definitely see, especially in this space, a unique opportunity to kind of be, as Captain George mentioned a couple of times, the bow wave of it. So I'm just the second class coming out of the Naval Academy who, being fully qualified, could select cryptologic warfare. So it's a very unique time to come into the Navy where both professionally and academically we're being trained, taught, and kind of groomed to be able to make this a very unique career. So I'd absolutely love to stay in the Navy, work in this career piece. The operations and tactical sides have always been appealing just from the military in general, but then I'd really like to get over to that policy side at some point. And as Captain Tatora said, kind of start looking at this from that native perspective and looking at, hey, how can we begin to make doctrine that'll last at the military level, at the national level, across both the public and the private sector, as they are so intimately intertwined in this space.
Now, the current CNO came up through the nuclear power ranks. Do you see a future CNO coming up through the cyber and cryptological warfare ranks?
Oh, I think that may be a better question for Captain Tor with a little more vision on it. But I think absolutely, at some point, like with all of these things, I don't know about CNO, but I think constantly it's becoming more and more important that cryptologic warfare officers are just being part of these conversations. And I've actually seen a huge increase kind of across the Navy with more cyber training and with more professional development in this space. Really kind of that rising tide raises all ships. Really across the Navy, I think I've seen, from my very limited perspective, I'm sure Captain Tatora could give a more from a senior officer level, but from my level, both as a midshipman and now as a junior officer, I've seen the overall level of cyber in the Navy constantly increasing, and I don't think that's going to stop. If anything, I think it's going to increase even more, making it a more prominent feature of both the education for all of our sailors, as well as part of our professional development and a part of the professional opportunities in the Navy.
All right, we'll give the last word to Captain Tortora.
Yeah, so I think Zach hit the nail on the head, and I would think every Naval Academy midshipman should aspire to be the Chief of Naval Operations, regardless of their community. And this is an important field, and so we do, the director of the NSA, Admiral Rogers, is a cryptologic warfare officer, and the current head of the 10th Fleet is a cryptologic warfare officer, Vice Admiral Ty. So there's plenty of stars ahead of Zach when he stays in, I'll say, just to keep him motivated. And so this field is broadening, as I can see here with our NATO partners, quite evident. We actually have some Germans and Austrians working with us in this class, so it's pretty evident that there's a lot more to learn in this field. I think the Naval Academy took the right step several years ago to broaden our view of what cybersecurity is into the more of a cyber operations interdisciplinary approach to trying to solve this and inculcate it better into our future Naval officers and Marine officers. So I think we're on the right path. It's going to take a while. But we're really doing well, and I think Zach's going to lead that bow wave from the front.
Retired Navy Captain Paul Tortora, director of the Center for Cybersecurity Studies at the Naval Academy, and Ensign Zach Danley, the top performer in the first graduating class. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.